Good morning. I'm excited to be with you guys this morning. Maybe I'll just open us in prayer. God, we just thank you for this space to come together as a community of moms. Just take a breath and just be. Thank you for making our kids exactly who they are and for making us equipped to mother them. I pray that you would speak through me this morning and that it would be a good time of community. In your name, amen. Okay, for those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Rachel. I am Mark Hughes's wife, which he is the high school pastor here at Pacific Coast Church. We have two daughters. One is Ziggy, she's 2.5, and the other one is Tatum, who's 10 months old. And being a pastor's wife is honestly still surprising to me today. I remember when I became a Christian at like 16, I prayed to God and I was like, okay, God, I pray that I would marry a godly man, but not a pastor. That's too much. So it's just funny how God has a sense of humor, which I think is a fun element that we need to remember, that God wants us to laugh and enjoy life. As I was praying about what to talk about this morning, the word expectant came up. And expectant means to wait on with exciting anticipation for, having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen, especially something pleasant or interesting, which goes very well with moms, like being expectant. You know, you're pregnant, you're expecting this baby to come out of you. The baby is expecting food from you. When they get older and they get boo-boos, your kids expect you to come and care for their little ouchies. Some kids, Liam, expects you to read his mind. Same with my daughter. They just, you know, whine and think you know exactly why they're crying, which sometimes you do, but we're not mind readers. And being expectant also reminds me of the verse in Luke 12, which is like, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storm room or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this little thing, this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And then consider the wildflowers, how they grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And I can say personally, for me, that verse has played out numerous times, from neighbors giving us hand-me-downs to toys to even food sometimes, not from neighbors, like, you know, just being in a community. And I love the little call-out at the end right there. You of little faith, all God's asking for is for us to trust him, which we'll talk more about. I think I've also shared this. I've recently been reawakened to the Holy Spirit in my life. I would say over the last year, but specifically over the last 6 months, just really awakened to the Spirit working in my life and expectant of him to show up. And I read the book by Tyler Stanton, Familiar Stranger. Highly recommend. It's all about the Holy Spirit and the ways that he is familiar to us, but also he can feel like a stranger. Basically, when I found out I was pregnant with Tatum, I remember thinking, okay, Lord, you are going to have to do a work in me to make this life work, because Ziggy, my oldest, she hadn't even turned one yet, but she was like entering toddler phase, and I knew it was going to get harder because twos are known for terrible twos, saying no, like twos are just hard. And yes, she was one, but then I knew it was going to get harder. And I really feel like from being pregnant to Tatum to now, she's 10 months, almost 11, like God really has done a work in me. And like I said, if you know anything about toddlers, you know they're illogical. They can be hypersensitive to the way you cut or don't cut a certain thing. They're very action-reaction oriented. And as someone who didn't think that I was a control freak, I have quickly realized how much of a control freak I can be. I have recently been very starkly aware of all of the areas in my life that I need to grow in. And I'm going to name a few. And if you feel called this morning, if you feel like, oh, I got that down, I think we should have you talk. Okay? I'm just calling you out. If you can get your kids to eat dinner, okay, without it being World War II, because that happens nightly at my house. Navigating sibling relationships, something I don't know how to do, that I need help with. Patience, don't we all? Michaela, I feel like you could talk about patience. A deep-seated one that I'm really trying to work on, and again, if you have the wisdom, please come share. Mom rage. Anybody else? Okay, just me. How to be a great wife. I think, you know, great, that's like, it's just hard. Lacey, I think you could talk about that one. I'm just going to speak this over all of you guys, okay? I'm going to assign your names next to these. Emotional regulation, that is something that I am learning. And I would say the breathing scripture, like the exercises that we've done here, I have continued to practice them. And gosh, they are so helpful. Like Connie's little opening, I listened to, because I wasn't here last week. It was so refreshing. It's so just like calming for your whole nervous system to just take a minute to breathe. And then another one that I am growing in is discernment, which is actually one of my words of this year. Have you guys ever picked a word of the year? Raise your hand if you've, yes, okay, about half the room. I would highly suggest, basically the idea is simple. God might reveal a word, maybe even a verse, or you might just choose a word or a verse to focus your intention on for the year. I highly recommend it. Pray about it. So that's one of my five words of the year, but I know, a little extra. I felt like at the beginning of the year, God was calling me into a new rhythm, of how I spend my time, because we have such limited times as moms, right, for ourselves. And I just, probably a little bit of like seasonal depression, I think, and I like the rain and I like experiencing some of winter. But when the days get dark so early, it's just depressing. And I feel like God was leading me in do art more. One of my clients is a professional organizer, and she talks about how there's things in our garages that we hope to use someday. And I think if you think about something in your garage that you hope to use someday, something's going to come to mind, right? And for me, that was my art supplies. Not that I have like buckets and buckets, but I have some drawers full of pencils and paint and whatever. And so I felt like God was calling me into getting creative while also having a rhythm of spiritual reflection, just noticing what God is doing in my heart, in my mind, just the practice of writing and reflecting on what he is doing while also doing some art. And it's been a month now, and it's been really life-giving for me to have something that's just for me. Call it a hobby. I know you have chickens that can also, you know, your hobbies can be multifaceted. They can be whatever. But I think as moms, we can just get so, we can forget about ourselves and forget about, I don't know, carving out time for something that's just you and that you are focusing on. So it was through one of my reflections that Mark and I were talking about emotional regulation. And he went to school and learned stuff. And he talked about, he was like, oh yeah, anger is actually a secondary emotion. Anger, right? Yeah, anger, like being mad can be a secondary emotion. And that's, how often do we show secondary emotions instead of primary emotions? So let me explain. Primary emotions are instinctive, immediate, and much more vulnerable. And I like to just simplify it. There's three, I would argue, many psychologists debate, well, how many primary emotions are there? There are three, let me tell you. There is fear, sadness, or being hurt, and joy. Secondary emotions are a learned response to cover up a sensitive emotion. So, like, I'll explain them. I'm going to explain some of the ones that I tend to fall into that I guesstimate some of you guys could relate to. After having Tatum, I believe I had much more postpartum anxiety than I did the first time, which is, it just felt backwards, like why the second time? But for whatever reason, my brain got just really anxious about, is she breathing? Is she gonna roll over and choke on something or whatever? I feel like I'm learning and growing in this, you know, we're constantly learning and growing. So anxiety is an example of a secondary emotion. And the root of that for me is fear. Fear says something might go wrong. Anxiety says, let me stay on high alert so we never feel that fear again. Anger is a very common secondary emotion, which also, whoever out there would like to speak on mom rage, I think we want to hear it. I want to hear it. Because I didn't think I had such an anger problem until having a two-year-old. Anyways, it is often rooted in fear or a sadness or a hurt. So under anger might be sadness from being disappointed, a feeling of unseen or disrespected, and anger says, I'll get loud so I don't have to feel small, which again is common for parenting rage. And then I think these are my top three. The next one that I easily fall into is control, which is often rooted in fear. Fear says, I don't feel safe. Control says, if I manage everything, I won't feel that fear. Control can look like perfectionism, micromanaging, and rigidity. I don't necessarily believe that control is always bad. Again, Mark and I were talking about this, and we were talking about, you all have kids, the kids can just explode the house of stuff, right? Like toys. Meanwhile, you're cooking, and then you finally sit down at the table and you eat, and you're raging at them to eat your dinner. And then finally, you know, you're done, and you look around, and it's like a bomb went off. And you're like, oh my gosh, all I want to do to feel normal again is to control and clean and tidy up, which I don't think is necessarily bad. Like, it's okay for us to have these rhythms of reset for the day. But there's a fine balance between, I think for me, I can want to control my two-year-old. But let me touch on one more time. Primary emotions are honest, and secondary emotions are protective. And I believe that God can meet us in both, but true transformation is when we get really honest with him in the primary, in the fear, in the sadness, in the hurt, and in the joy. When we stop hiding behind protection and bring the true thing to him. And with emotional regulation, we are all teaching our kids in the way that they should go. And I think for me, somewhere along the lines, I have blurred between teaching and controlling my toddler. And I'm controlling her because I think I know what's best, and I probably do. But how much angst and turmoil is in my entire being when she doesn't listen? Which is the place I've been at of realizing this is not working. Which, hello, Eve. You know, one of our curses is to want to control and have, what, dominion over our husbands. And I would argue, I have heard the interpretation of the Genesis curse, not just pains in the actual labor of kids, but pains in the raising of children, like childbearing when we're raising. It's this push and pull. Which Kira pointed out to me the other day, that there's this nice saying, if you're doing it right, it should be hard because you're trying to teach them in the good things. And the world is counter to what we are trying to teach them and their flesh and all of that. Okay, now side note, I was doing this whole talk with God when I was putting my 10 month to bed, and I was like, God, why is this so hard? Like, why is putting down Ziggy, or just her and I just have these big fights? And I just felt that little whisper of trust her more. And I was like, what? How am I supposed to trust her more when she's not proving and she's not and I tried it of like going into her room and being like, okay, yeah, go have a sip of water. I'll be here. I'm waiting. And just showing her in a little tiny way, instead of standing over her, okay, get your water. Okay, now we're going. Okay, no. You know, I do that. I'm crazy. But that little gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit, I feel like helped me with our nap time, is helping me. I'm still working on it. Okay, and so, yeah, I know that I should not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. The Holy Spirit led me to this. We are souls. We all know this. We are not just humans. We are souls. Souls that are constantly forming and being formed, which is the process of sanctification, being formed into the image of Christ. And I'm going to explain what the four elements of a soul. This is taken straight from the Armor of God study by Priscilla Shire. It's a very dense but very good study if you ever want to do on the armor of God. It's really good. The soul is made up of four things: the mind, the will, emotions, and your conscience. Obviously, the mind has thoughts, the will has ambition, and the emotion has feelings, and the conscience is your moral compass. So as Christians, we are trying to strive to be more like Jesus, right? That's the goal, which means it's not just our actions in what we do. In all of these four areas, we are striving, aiming, pushing, leaning into how to be more like Christ. Our minds, our will, our emotion, our conscience, more and more aligned and resemble Christ. Which again, all of that is sanctification, the process of becoming. It's a process. It's not a, you're there, you've achieved. And Priscilla Shire wrote, "What the brain is to the body, your mind is to the soul." So we all know the brain is really important. And how much more is the mind for the inner being of us, which for me, the battle really gets going in my mind. I'd like to think it's all women, maybe. Yeah, I see some nods, thank you, I'm not alone. but especially Christian women who are trying to raise God-fearing, God-loving kids, how much more is the enemy trying to double down on our minds? I tell Mark often, I think I'm bipolar because I am like, we are so good. We've got everything down. And then like an hour later, I'm like, nothing is working. This is all falling apart, which is like, hello, red flag. Be aware. The enemy is working, Rachel. So how do we combat the thoughts of our mind? I'm telling you, this is my word of the year, discernment. Look at that. Look how that works out. Oh my gosh, right? Which is why I say pick a word of the year, because when you pick a word of the year or a verse, I feel like it gives you opportunities to see the Lord working in your life. To see the Lord trying to get your attention. Hey, are you willing? Hey, are you patient? Is that your word? I don't remember your word. I'm sorry. No. Content? No. Whatever it is, whatever your word is. And if your friends know, then they can also give you a nudge, Lacey. Okay, so where does discernment start? It starts in your head. It starts in your thoughts. Which the Bible backs us up, okay? Get this. Romans 8:6-7 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." I mean, don't we all want to be experiencing and are being with life and peace, governed with life and peace, which means I need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And another word for yield is surrender, submit, be available, willing. In order to operate in health and victory in our minds, we need to be able to distinguish truth from lie. And we can only do that by the word of God. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." Doesn't that remind you of the Forrest Frank song? No? Anyone else? Okay. Okay, but so, whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Isn't so much of life about trusting in God? Like right when you become a Christian, you're like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna trust in you. It's hard, but it's you know, foundational. If our minds are focused, dialed, locked in to trusting him, he'll give us peace. Megan Fate said in a sermon, we trust God with our eternity, but we don't think he cares about the daily small stuff. And I am here today to say God wants to do life with you very closely. And I think the reason that we struggle with trust is because it's where the original deception came in. Did God really say, yeah, he did, because he knows what's best? Which, hello, hi, Mom. I do that to Ziggy, right? Like, I'm like, I know what's best. Parenting is one of those things that just teaches you so much about how God views you, I feel like, and how patient he is with us, even though we don't deserve it. So, for me, in my thoughts, I spiral down, and I'm like, why do I let myself spiral down with the struggles of doubt and worry and anxiety? In some ways, I wish I had the forgetfulness of a toddler. Stay seated. And then 2 seconds later, forgets, you know. Don't grab a toy from your sister. 2 seconds later, forgets. Put your shoes on. You know, find something else. I wish I could forget the enemy's lies as quickly as they come in. But instead, I can find myself in this internal mind battle. And if you're a Christian here today, you know that there's a spiritual battle at play. But how awake to the battle are you? And I know that's like, sounds so dramatic and whatever, but it really is. I mean, there is an enemy who does not want you to live John 10:10, live life abundantly, as Jesus says. He wants to steal your joy. He does. And to bring this full circle, I want to be expectant of a God who is alive and desires a relationship with me. My husband's word of the year is all in. And again, one of the ways, it's two words, I know, it's a phrase. It's surrender, but it's cooler, it's all in. Which he stole that because mine was surrender last year, that guy. Anyways, he was in his office and he was looking around at his books and he grabbed a book. This is how, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And if we're like aware of it, it's pretty cool to see. So he was in his office and he's looking at his bookshelf and he sees a book called All In, literally his word of the year. And he got it 2-3 years ago. He read the whole book, but he's like, oh, this is my word of the year. Starts reading it, the whole thing. He sent me photos directly speaking to where we're at right now, like just profound. And one of the quotes was, so the book is called All In by Mark Batterson. It said, a childlike trust in Heavenly Father and a blind obedience to the Holy Spirit. Whew. Whew. Sounds a little bit risky. Blind obedience. Like, I don't have blind obedience with anything. I don't even know if I would do like a trust fall with my husband today. I mean, I would, but I'd be like, okay, make sure that you got me. Yes, okay, anyways, which also blind obedience to the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do you know if it's from the Holy Spirit? Discernment, word of the year. Come on, you guys, come on. Are your eyes open? Okay, so I was, like I said, Tyler Stanton wrote the book, The Familiar Stranger, and he says he does this practice every day when he's driving home from work, and I want to start incorporating it because I feel like it goes into being expectant of God to work daily in your life, but also that requires you to be aware of God working in your life. So he asked himself these three questions. Where did I feel nearest to God today? Where did I feel furthest to God today? What's one prayer for tomorrow? I feel like those are really good questions because it brings your awareness to the things. Like, I listened to that sermon, and then I went to the park, and Ziggy was picking up leaves and throwing them and just having a childlike moment. Woo, so fun. And the wind came, gust, and then she was, like, hopping on a fence or something. And she's like, who did that? And I was like, who did what? And she was like, that. And I was like, that's the wind. It was the wind blowing. Like the leaves, you're like, do you feel it? Do you feel the wind in your hair? And she, you know, moved on to something else. So I'm like, you're a toddler, you're forgetful, it's fine. But I'm like, in that moment, it felt like this intangible thing, like wind. You can't really, like I could, you feel that? That's what wind does to you. But like for her to experience it at the park, easy, you know, the wind's blowing. Well, who did that? It's like, that's wind. Okay, you're grasping it. I feel like that parallel, I mean, the Holy Spirit is described as, I'm going to butcher it, ruach, like breath, right? Yeah, yes. Wind, ruach, breath, and wind. But like, are we noticing? Are we aware? And that was the moment I thought for yesterday. I felt, that's where I felt nearest to God, in that moment of, who did that? And it was the wind. And I was like, it's the wind for her, but for me, I was like, that's God. He's with, I didn't tell her that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, he's here, he's moving, he's present with us. He's, I don't know, you could go on to describe the way the sun was hitting, and I felt like he was in my thoughts, and which also goes to, like, I think so often, you know, this day and age we live in, like the distraction, we all know, ping, 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 notification, notification. And like, we want God to be like, give me a sign of what to do next. But it's in the whisper. He is gentle, and he is near us, and he's not going to have a neon sign, but he's going to gently nudge us, or even, I would say, gently whisper in our minds of maybe a prompt or something to do next. So my proposition is for the week is to notice where God is already working in your life. Could be in one of the four elements. It could be in our emotions. It could be in our thought life. Where is God already working? Where might it feel like the enemy has a footing? And where might we want to lean in and trust God more? That's what I have for you guys this morning. There's some questions if you want to talk. I highly recommend talking. I like questions. And is Lacey going to come up and tell us how to do some flower arrangements?